Father in heaven, many of our brothers and sisters in here are from the Philippines. Right down the street is our Filipino church, Lord, that actually was planted from this church. And now I'm sure there are relatives who were majorly touched by this dramatic storm, hoping they're none of the deaths, and they claim that it's at least 1,200 are dead, that the fatalities amongst us would be minimal or zero. But in any case, Lord, we see the signs of Your coming. Help humanity to read it correctly and know that You're trying to intervene if we would only allow You. So bless now, and Lord, bless my sermon too, that it bring honor and glory to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's the other photo I showed you as it's just approaching. Look at the size of that typhoon. It's almost as long as the Philippines. And so Jesus is coming very soon. A passenger heading home on the Q train yesterday, that was November 6th, was astounded when he saw a young Afro-American guy nod off on the shoulder of a Jewish man. The Jewish man, Isaac Thiel, 65, doesn't move a muscle, just lets him stay there for the better part of an hour. After a minute, I asked the man if he wanted me to wake the kid up. But he shook his head and responded, "He must have had a long day. Let him sleep. We've all been there, right?" Another subway rider was so struck by Theo's nonchalant empathy that he snapped a picture. He posted it with an accompanying caption on Reddit, and the rest, as they say, is social media history. The photo quickly made its way through the blogosphere and garnered over 1 million likes and nearly 200,000 shares on Facebook. Humanity, again, has been redeemed. When Isaac Thiel let the sleepy stranger take a little catnap on his shoulder, it was because, quote, "I simply remember the times my own head would bob on someone's shoulder because I was so tired after a long day." Isaac was also quoted as saying, "Maybe the photo wouldn't have become so popular if people weren't seeing a Jewish man with a yarmulke, a skull cap worn in public by Orthodox Jewish men, and a black man in a hood, and because they might not necessarily correlate the two. But there is only one reason I didn't move and let him continue sleeping, and that has nothing to do with race. He simply is a human being who was exhausted, and I knew it, and happened to be there, and have a big shoulder to offer." So let us look at the sermon entitled, "Stretch Out Your Hand," and see what this story has to do with the story we find in Mark, the third chapter. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Mark, the third chapter. And we will look at this story, which I entitled, "Stretch Out Your Hand." Can you repeat that with me? Stretch out your hand. With a little more enthusiasm. Stretch out your hand. Okay, Mark 3. We're going to begin right at verse number 1. Here's the story we find. "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And then He said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or kill?" But they kept silent. And when He had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." Can you say that to me? Stretch out your hand. And I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus asked the religious leaders in the synagogue one simple question. He said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day?" That's what He said to them. And then He waited for the answer. Now let's look at the same story in Luke, as it adds a couple details that are very interesting. So turn to Luke, the 6th chapter, and let's read the same story according to Dr. Luke about the man with the withered hand. Luke, the 6th chapter, starting with verse 6. Do you have it? Everybody have your Bible today? Children, do you have your Bibles? I want you to open and follow along as we read this beautiful story and see what God is saying to you today through this story. Verse 6, "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that He entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched Him closely whether He would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against Him. But He knew their thoughts, and He said to the man with the withered hand, 'Arise and stand right here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy life?' And when He had looked around at them all, He said to the man," what? "Stretch out your hand." Now I want you to notice that one element Luke adds is it's His right hand. In the Jewish frame of mind, the right hand is the hand of power. The story is told in Matthew, but it doesn't say which hand. The story is told in Mark, but it doesn't say which hand. But in Luke, it says the right hand was withered. The hand of power. And Jesus told him to stretch forth His hand. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is what? They did not answer Jesus. Did you notice we read it in Mark, we read it in Luke, they did not say a word. And I want to remind you of a story in Matthew. Keep your finger here. Well, actually, I want you to go back to Mark, but that's all right. I'm in Luke. Go to Matthew, go to chapter 21, and let me read you a story and get a little insight in here into why they were silent and what it teaches us. Now this is just before Jesus. He was approaching the cross of Calvary, and you might say the heat was ramped up in these last chapters of Matthew, and the religious leaders were desperately trying to trip Jesus up. And so notice what they did here, starting with verse 23. "Now when He came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Him as He was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' But Jesus answered and he said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Well, he got their attention, right? And then he said, the baptism of John. Where was it from? From heaven or from man? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we don't know. What insights we have here to the thinking of the religious leaders. That is, Jesus confronted them with a question. They had to group together in a huddle, talk it over, and arrive at the conclusion, we can't afford to answer it. He'll make fools out of us. Now, at what point would that make you think, maybe I need to repent of my sins and join this man? But they didn't. They said, we can't answer you. Early on in Jesus' ministry, we have this story of the man with the withered hand. And when he asked them the simple question, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days? They did not answer him. Notice what the Desire of Ages tells us. It was a maxim. Get this. It was a maxim among the Jews that a failure to do good when one had an opportunity was to do evil. To neglect to save a life was to kill. Thus Jesus met the rabbis on their own ground. Isn't that amazing? They had a saying amongst themselves. That saying was exactly, precisely what Jesus said to them when he asked them the question, is it right to do good on the Sabbath? And then, what did Jesus say? Stretch forth your hand. Oh, you're not very cooperative today. Say it again. Stretch forth your hand. And finally, number three, did you catch it? Jesus was angry with them. Take a look at Matthew 12, the third place we find this same story. Of course, chronologically in the Bible, it would be the first place, Matthew, then Mark, then Luke. But those three gospel prophets all included this story. And notice what is added by Matthew. You have Matthew 12, verse 9. Ready? Everyone? Now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. Take a look at this if you would. Rather than violate their traditions, they would leave a man to suffer while they would relieve a brute because of the loss to its owner if it were neglected. Thus, greater care was shown for the dumb animal than for the man who is made in the image of God. Friends, this blows me away here, because in the Desire of Ages, it makes it plain that this was actually a different occasion, because notice who asked the question in this story. The religious leaders. And notice, Jesus answered specifically the question. But before He did, He gave them a little parable. And that is, which one of you who have a sheep, and it fell in the ditch on the Sabbath, would not get it out? You know, and notice He points out that because economically it would affect you. But you know, a lot of people would say they didn't want the sheep to suffer. We got to get it out of there. Now friends, it used to be a $5,000 fine if you killed a baby eagle, an eagle chick. But yet you can abort a fetus for free. It is right to do good on the Sabbath. Notice that it also says the gospel places the highest value upon what? Humanity. As the purchase of the blood of Christ. And it teaches a tender regard for the wants and the woes of man. That's why, friends, whether it's clear or not, we have to defend to the death that abortion is not correct. Nor to allow a man to continue to suffer because of some stupid tradition that isn't even biblical. And so what did Jesus say? Stretch forth your hand, knowing perfectly well that this would bring condemnation and reproach upon Him. In fact, He knew something else that we glean if we read carefully, and it didn't at all cause Him to hesitate to give them a direct answer to their question, even when they refused to give Him direct answers to His question. So this morning, as I start to close, I have a question for you. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? I heard that side, but I didn't hear this side. I put down something different. Of course. Especially after we found out that Jesus answered that question already. But folks, I have one more question for you. And here it is. Are you ready for the one more question? Which means I'm at the end of my sermon. Are you doing good on the Sabbath? Let me explain to you. Last week, Jenny and I, because Pastor Julio was preaching, took an opportunity to go to our Hispanic church. I want you to know our Hispanic church is thriving, folks. It is growing with people that keep coming, not just visitors in and out like the waves on the seashore. We were thrilled, but we knew there were some people in our church in crisis. One was in the ICU and in Sunrise Hospital. And another older member in our church. And so we left there, went to the hospital. When we got done, we picked up Cordell on the way. And then we got Daisy and we went to see one, the oldest church member in our church, who is going to be 100 years old in January? 100 years old. And let me tell you why I'm illustrating this. 100 years is so long that she stays for Sabbath school and leaves for church, so she's not here. But she was here for Sabbath school. By the way, were some of you here for Sabbath school? I will never forget the joy on her and her daughter's face that we came unexpectedly and visited them. I will never forget how it impressed me. It gave me chills like it's doing right now. That they deeply appreciated the fact we took time out of our schedule to come to their house. I'm asking you, are you doing this kind of thing on Sabbath afternoon? We have a lot of new members in this church, folks. Have you ever visited them? You know, we've got the Sunshine Singers that go, and sometimes they go with 3 and 4 measly people to sing in the nursing home. And you know what? Jesus would be part of that. Why? He always took time out of his busy schedule to make sure that someone else felt good. Are you doing that on the Sabbath? Or are you going home to bed? Are you going home to the couch? Are you going home to the TV? Friends, if God didn't ask me to preach this, I wouldn't. Isn't it interesting, the children's story? Did you get that? Stretch out your hand. Tiona, the Lord spoke to you. Did you even notice that this was the title of the sermon, Tiona? Do you do good on the Sabbath? Or do you go out the door when it's all over and go home? We don't see you till next Sabbath. You have the right to do that. But let me show you the deeper implications as I'm closing here. Matthew concluded this story. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Moral of the story, Satan hates it when the church does good on the Sabbath, and he's doing everything he can to stop that from happening. Mark ends his story, and then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against Jesus how they might destroy this man who does good on the Sabbath. And then finally Luke, he concludes, but they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. And do you remember what Jesus said to them? He said, is it right to do lawful, to do good on the Sabbath, or evil? To save life or kill? You see, the whole congregation evidently had no clue that even before Jesus did that withered hand, they were trying to kill him, and instead of blurting it out to the entire group, he spoke to their hearts silently in the hopes that they would repent of their great sin. They went out and they plotted and planned how to kill him, because Satan does not want Seventh-day Adventist Christians doing good on the Sabbath. Now let me defend you just a little bit. Adventists, for the most part, are very hard-working people. And Adventists give up, supposed to, a 24-hour period of no business or work. And therefore, you work, you do stuff on Sunday because it's the only day of the weekend you have. And maybe you say, I'm just too tired on the Sabbath. Friends, that's exactly what Satan wants you to think. Why? Because Jesus said, it is right to do good on the Sabbath. And so, my friends, I want you to reach out your hand to someone else. Paradise Church, let's be different from the typical Adventist. By the way, I don't want to prolong this, but I do remember clearly when I was converted and I came in the church, I soon noticed something. Where I was converted and brought in the church, after we ate a big meal after church, you know, invite them home. I appreciated being invited home. I was single, very hungry. And I just learning all this stuff. And then I noticed we got done eating. Everybody sat around and discussed the end times. And then the kids would come in and they would do something and someone would say, put that book down, this is Sabbath. And then the kids would sing a song. Don't sing that song, this is the Sabbath. While they sit there and discuss the end times. And I thought, this is not the way to keep Sabbath. Friends, if you got kids, get them out there on the street, feed the homeless. Take them to sing to the nursing home. Look closely at the people in those wheelchairs, the joy in their face when a little child, your child, comes up and touches them and says, God bless you. Jesus said, it is right to do good on the Sabbath. Therefore, stretch out your hand to someone. Satan says, don't do it. I don't want Seventh-day Adventists to be like that. The film Schindler's List chronicles the heroic efforts of a German industrialist named Oskar Schindler. Though through his unselfish activities, over 1,000 Jews on a train to Auschwitz were saved. After Schindler found out what was happening at Auschwitz, he began a systematic effort to save as many Jews as he could. For money, he could buy Jews to work in his factory, which was supposed to be part of the military machine of Germany. On one hand, he was buying as many Jews as he could. On the other hand, he was deliberately sabotaging the ammunition produced in his factory. He entered the war as a financially wealthy industrialist, and by the end of the war, he was basically financially bankrupt. When the Germans surrendered, Schindler met with his workers and declared that at midnight, they all could go free. The most emotional scene of the film was when Schindler said goodbye to his financial manager of the plant, a Jew, and his good trusted friend. As he embraced his friend, Schindler sobbed and said, I could have done more. He looked at his automobile and asked, why did I say this? I could have brought 10 Jews with this car. Taking another small possession, he cried, and this would have saved another life. Why didn't I do more? May that never be a statement out of our mouths. Because we learn it is lawful, it is right, it is good to do good on the Sabbath. So reach out your hand for someone so they too can know the joy of someone who cares about them. Father, I thank you for challenging every single one of us here today. There's no one that it missed, including me. For there are times, sometimes, when I like to justify sitting and doing nothing because I'm the pastor. But oh, how my eyes were open when we went to see Lula and see the sincere joy it brought her and Ellis, and how it brought joy to me. Lord, help the Paradise Church to set the standard. Teach us how to rise above our own personal feelings and to do something, no matter how simple it may be, for someone else on Sabbath afternoon. So, Lord, give us ideas. And continue to give us the ability and the willingness to stretch out our hands, no matter how exhausted we may be. And thank you for hearing this prayer, Lord, and that you will answer it, because we pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.